welcome you to another episode of Live with the Native Guy. Boy, howdy, we hope you've been having a great year this year. We have one of the most prolific guests we've had in a while, our first guest of the year. So this is going to be an awesome interview. Her name is Cindy Fumero. She works for the Office of Disability Concerns as a disability advocate. She's a mother of seven children, four boys and three girls. She's originally here from the Lawton, Oklahoma area, but she moved to the West Coast in her early 20s. She and her family moved back here in Lawton to about 2015 from the Bay Area, where she worked at the Friendship House, the Native American Healing Center as a substance abuse use disorder counselor. So today, Ms. Fumero attends Cameron University, where she's president of the Native American Student Association. She's got a majoring in interdisciplinary studies with a major of criminal justice and a minor in psychology. Watch out, she's going to ask a lot of questions. Ms. Fumero works in the community in several ways, and this is some great, profound things that we want to learn a little bit more. She's a founder of the Warrior Women's Society. It's a community-based organization that helps Indigenous women with all things that supportive services do not help with. She's also a founding member of the Comanche Academy Indigenous Charter School, a founding member of the Lawton Indigenous People's Day. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. A board member of the MMIW Indian Capital, a vice president of state chapter of missing and murdered Indigenous people, and president of the Cameron University Native American Student Association. Ooh, busy, busy, busy. Ms. Fumero was awarded Woman of the Year 2019 for the Comanche County by the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women, and most recently, Parent of the Year from the Oklahoma Council on Indian Education. Very admirable. And she states she's humbled and grateful for the Indigenous people that she's encountered, and she seeks to serve all that she has and all that Creator has blessed with. And we are glad that she is willing to sit down with us and speak with us more. Welcome to the show, Cindy. How are you today?
Oh, Matakiapi. Nanani Atsa Cindy Fumero. I am Oglala Sioux and Comanche. I'm just really honored that it seems like so much. But it's really about just time management and organization and people that are working there. I don't do everything. Sometimes they just say, Cindy, can you do this? And I say, okay, how much time is it going to take out of this day or that day? So I just kind of, you're a good leader when the people around you are the best they can be and they're better than you. Wow. And so that's all I seek to do. I don't know everything. I don't care to know everything. I only learned how to be a native woman about 15 years ago. I was never involved.
Not native women, but a native man, maybe about the same.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Like, it is. But I think as long as we just continue, because so many people have lost the history that for me, I run into the fact that I do a lot of ceremony myself because I also pray up in the north. And so because I'm Oglala, I've been given certain things to be able to do. Sun dancing is one of those and other things that go with that. Around here, you don't do that. Comanche women don't do that, right? Comanche women don't hold feathers.
I was generally don't do that either. Well, the men do, but it's other tribes that they do it with. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, when I got home in 2015, there's so much diversity out in the Bay Area. That was one of the places where there was the relocation happened. Those natives out there, they don't care they don't care. You could be your pinky full of whatever. And as long as you're in it to win it and help the cause, they care less. They care not. One of the biggest powwows out in the Bay Area is Stanford Powwow. And that Native American Student Association was basically all light-skinned brothers and sisters. Wow. They were not of Native descent, but because they had their heart there, because they wanted to make sure it didn't die, that's been going on for over 50 years. So I say that to say this. We need diversity here. We need to be right. We need to be inclusive, not exclusive. And when I first got back and Corn just got back, Cornell Dr. Peavy Wardy, we were like, we kind of bumped into each other and we were like, just kind of starstruck because we kind of had the same ideas, but we knew there wasn't a lot of people that could help implement them because those ideas were from somewhere else. They were from the West Coast, the East Coast, the North, the whatever. They just weren't Comanche, Kiowa, or Apache. Yeah. And so we knew that we were going to have an uphill battle in bringing some of those ideas. We started with IPD, with Indigenous Peoples Day, because, you know, many of us already knew that. We already knew what Indigenous meant. We already knew that to be a part of who I was in the past meant that I was going to have to recognize what I am today. Wow. So, and understanding that made, you know, it really helped the whole community. The Bay Area really gave me a firm foundation about nationhood, about building nations, about sovereignty, about water and land rights, because there's a lot of things that they're barely just getting back, just like us here. They look to us because we're like Indian territory, right? In all actuality, our people are out there too. And, you know, I love the North Coast natives. They really taught me how to make sacred the water. Like, I had no idea how sacred the water was, right? And then it just kind of fell into my lap. So Indigenous Peoples Day, I think, for us, when we went there, they were not with the Lawton City Council. They were not having it. They were not feeling it. In fact, if I say his name, Mayor Fitch, Mayor Fitch. He was.
I don't know who that is, but
okay. Well, but I don't know too much.
From what I know, and meeting Dr. Cornell, that's a shout out to you, Dr. Hugh Wardy. Yeah, I appreciate him. I first met him in Lawrence, Kansas. He was a professor up there, but I also knew he worked at Portland State for a long time. And what such a great man and an inspiration. That's where I actually first met you, that we're on the subject of Indigenous Peoples Day, because I met you in what was called a circle. And it was such a teaching moment that you actually taught me. And that's where what you said, we have to learn. We have to learn these things. And in that circle, you know, I was recording you and I was taking pictures. And instead of getting upset, I remember that, if you can remember that. And I learned that I need to show better respect for these things that I don't understand. And Indigenous Peoples Day, those things that you fought for so hard, those are the things why we want to share our culture, like you brought out. That's important for everyone. Wouldn't you agree?
During that time, I was being persecuted. My character was being persecuted for doing the things that I do. And that was the first talking circle that I had been asked to lead in some time. And I don't know what the format was that Korn said, but Korn, you know, I was like, okay, when people are in a talking circle, that circle is the strength of all the people, and it's sacred. And for I didn't know that he said that you guys could do that, right? So I was like, I felt bad after the fact, because I knew you were just trying to do what Korn said to do or allowed you to do. But I knew also that if we don't say that, I would have been affected. I should have said that, because that was a teaching moment. And I thank you for that. Oh my gosh, you don't even know.
And,
I felt
bad. For me, that was a teaching moment, because I learned something in that circle, and you said some powerful words, because, you know, during that time I had political aspirations, and I don't worry about that, but you said some words that, you know, as someone wanting to be a leader, the powerful statement that you made about how I spoke and everything like that, those affect me, and it made me think about how leadership should be, why we should be, and learning in that circle how you corrected. That takes leadership, and to be able to humble ourselves when we need to be taught. Because one of the things about our different societies, as you say, you're Comanche and Lakota, I'm Kiowa. And so our tribes we might have similar things that we do, but we are very different culturally, language-wise, things that we believe in, how we take responsibility for this earth mm-hmm. that we have. So for me, at that Indigenous Peoples Day, that's why those kind of things that you guys fought for, it wasn't easy, right? Getting it. You said 2017, it was an uphill battle, correct?
Yeah, it was. You know, they wanted, okay, so weeks before it was actually 7-1 enacted, they decided, yeah, we'll give it to you on Black Friday. And we were like, what? No, we're not. And Dr. Peabody could not make that actual council. So Martina Minthorn got up and said, no. I was not aware that he wasn't going to be there. So, and we had a packed auditorium. And there's, yeah, we'll do it. We'll certainly do it on the Black Friday, but we're not changing Columbus Day. That's just not what we're doing. So the very next time we packed it, even with AIM, with all the MMIW groups, with Warrior Women Society, with drums, we brought, you know, flags, we brought everything. And it only took a couple of beats of that drum for
Wow.
Mayor Fitch to say, stop, stop, stop. Okay, give them what they want. Fine. He was the one holdout, though.
Wow.
And it was really crazy because why? Why?
That's what
Why?
I was going to ask because, you know, the community we're in, it for me, it's pretty diverse. We know it's a military city, so there's a lot of people from different backgrounds come here, but also other countries who train here. But for me in this area, it was eye-opening because there's more than just Comanches and Kiowas here. There's other neighboring tribes that are throughout this community. And so doing those kind of things, how the city is able to be that way for so long and hold out for these things, you know, for advocates such as you and Dr. Cornell and those in this community to bring this awareness, Indigenous people say doing those things, you know. It, like I say, we mentioned earlier, it was a struggle. It was hard. The mayor didn't he it took a while. Again, it was a battle from what I know.
Yes, it was. It was definitely difficult. And he wasn't, you know, it wasn't just that. We're talking about the colonial system. And, you know, when we talk about Sheridan, right? Well, who was Sheridan? If you remember who the Sheridan was, he was a Comanche Kiowa Apache killer. He was the one bringing them in. You know, there's different names that this place, our land that has, we no longer have, you know, names or associations with our roots. Although our blood has been spilt on all these grounds, Lawton High was given to them for Lawton High to be built for $1 a year. They
Wow.
leased it. And then the superintendent, Dr. Deegan, when we were having some good success with the superintendent of Lawton, he was going to lease us Comanche Taft, built the Taft School for Comanche Academy for $1 a year as well. You know, reversing that good faith, and that was shot down, and they had to buy the building, which put them into dire straits money-wise. So we get there, and then we get to the edge, and we put our hand out in good faith, and then what happens? And we can't be resentful at that. You know, it's kind of like they don't know, but they do know, but they don't know. Right? They've never sat in our circles. They've never sat in our ceremonies. They've never eaten our food in a way. They've never understood what we are as people. Maybe individually, but not like for you. I've seen you campaign. I've seen the heart that you have. I was like, who is this guy? Who is he? We need him. We need him on our team. Who is, man, you had my heart beating because of your love for your people. I hadn't seen that in so very long. I was like, Cornell, who is that? I never, you never introduced me. You're
It's funny
Kiowa.
because the one thing you'll learn about me, Cindy, is I don't hold my tongue back, and I guess that's kind of a good and a bad thing. And Dr. Cornell, sometimes he gets on the front of my bad side, and it's just the understanding and the passion. Because you're right, I am very passionate about not only the Kiowa people but this land. You know, we share this land with our brothers, our Comanche and our Apache people. But we have neighboring tribes, Delaware, Caddo, Wichitas. We have over to the east of us, we have the Choctaws, and then going up to the north of us, far past the Wichita, we have the Cheyennes, and they're so we have to understand what's going on in Indian country. We have to be able to pull together. And for me, listening to the stories, being in these circles and learning about what great passion that others have. Because again, I didn't know the passion that others had. Sometimes I feel alone in this battle, and maybe you feel that too, that I'm alone. But when we find those like people who've been through, you know, unfortunate circumstances, we'll just put it that way, because life is difficult for many of us. And no matter what has happened in the past, it's how we rise up. As Indigenous people, we can all reflect on some of the hardest things. You know, as Kiowa people, if we know our history well, Fort Sill is the base that is here because of one purpose, the annihilation of the KCA people. People here, when you go in this community and you have this vast knowledge to share it with them, it gives them a different perspective of what the Indigenous people here know. And for me, I find out that a lot of people just aren't taught these things. And we need to be more vocal. And for me, Indigenous Peoples Day and being able to be in the community, being able to be that voice, that's what we need. And that's why I'm glad to, you know, sit down with you and visit with you, because I've always wanted to hear about these things, because, you know, we want to talk about the Indigenous, but what about the Warrior Woman Society and that you, but then this Comanche Academy, these things that you've helped grow in the community, the concern for your people, those are what we need, because we got to be advocating for each other, because these are the voices that some of us, we want to speak up, but we don't know how. And for me, I find passion that you're able to and teach us, because we need to be able to be teachable. That's the key.
Yes, Warrior Women's Society started in 2018 as well. It started because we couldn't get through any of the muck with getting services for some women. You could be accepted over to the women's shelter of the Comanche Nation or to any other, but they won't come get you. You could be in this city, they won't come get you. You could be in a domestic violence situation and have a bed 40 miles away and not be able to get there, and they won't hold it. So it's like, okay, so we need somebody to go at 4 a.m, 2 a.m, 1 a.m and get this person and go take them to the shelter. And there was no service. There's still no services like that, right? You suffer. And that's why the MMIW movement became to the top. It started showing what really was happening, because as we were only one, you know, we're probably about, there's probably maybe 15 women in the group. And we are just, as we go, as somebody calls, as somebody needs, but we'll take women to treatment. We'll take women, pick them up on the side of the road and get them somewhere safe, which also we do not have any safe houses, which is something else I'm working on. Meaning if somebody's coming out of detox, they were in a domestic violence situation. This happened just last weekend. A lady came out of detox and she still doesn't have any place to go till the 23rd, where she has a residential bed in a facility up in Ada. So now what does she do? She can't go back to the husband. Well, she's back with the husband. And that's because she has no place to go. That's the only comfort that she knows. She's got a roof over her head. She's got food. And she just has to hopefully make it. Can you imagine? Our women are at risk, at such a high risk.
I can't imagine that, because it's just, even children, the children are a part of this. Because we know locally we've had some bad news, some things that have been happening. And just hearing that is heartbreaking. And to have advocates. We got to do better in supporting and speaking up. And that's why I wanted to help and have this discussion, talk about these things. Because the things that I done when I was back campaigning, all these things, there's just so much information that's out there. And in the Native American community, our communities alone, there's so many things that we just aren't talking about. These topics, like you're bringing up, the MMIW. That's something, you know, it's been brought here up lately, and more chapters like locally are starting to bring this awareness. What are some numbers that you might know offhand or anything? Because this is a big concern. And I do know it started several years ago as well. And being a responsibility and advocate for that, what are some ways that we can help spread more awareness about this very important subject that's plaguing every tribe and all sorts of people today?
Yes, you know, the worst, when the saying goes that when the heart of the woman is on the floor, then you've lost your tribe. You've lost the connection to what you would call the Mother Earth. And so we have to pick that back up. The numbers that I would say, one year, just this 1 year from today going backwards, right? There was 24 people that either went missing. Well, I've got them here on my wall. There's 6 that I have on my wall that were murdered. And some of them, we know what happened, and some of them we don't. And those are just Comanches. Kiowas have a great number too. And in MMIW Indian Capital does a wonderful job. So does Fawn. Fawn at the Kiowa MMIP does a superb job bringing awareness, being at vigils, making flyers. What happens when somebody goes, and we find people where others would not? The OSBI wouldn't, local police won't. You can't even trust Anarcho police. You can't trust many police. So
in
we-
smaller towns, I've kind of found that as a powerful statement. Because when you bring that up, because the numbers that I did and the not murder rates, but some of the issues, and that probably leads to it, because I know Caddo County is one of the top 25 counties in the state for opioids and suicide abuse. They're up there, and Comanche County is far behind. And these are things that people, if you do your research, these affect our tribes too, because on these tribal lands, there's different jurisdictions, and there's some reasons why they're not reported, because they're not looking on these lands. Is that a possibility too for some of these that go unsolved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the bureaucracy and the jurisdiction has always been an issue. Well, that's an Indian problem. So let the Indians take care of it and the feds. We don't have to do much. And you know what? Let's be honest. Officers, police were the first people to be racist. They were put together to keep the slaves in check because the laws were letting them free.
Yeah.
So who are we?
Yeah, that is a statement, and I don't know if you've read that book by Kendi Ibrahim. It's a book that talks about slavery and racism in America and all that, and it's a powerful book because you brought out a point that he talks about. That's where this policing comes. That's why they are the way they are, because that's why they police the way they do. They're basically capturing runaway people at one. That was their job. And so it hasn't changed. Now it's just basically profit. That's how I see
it. It is profit, because we have the highest incarceration rate as well. We're the lowest education, highest in incarceration. Our children are lined up predetermining for them what they're going to do in prison. They're lined up. They're given numbers. They're put in rows. They have to walk behind with their hands on their back. That's what our school systems do. And, you know, as far as why we wanted Comanche Academy was we wanted Indigenous centered. We chose Comanche centered, but that was just based on, you know, they just jumped up and said, yeah, we'll do it. But I would like to see it go into an Indigenous charter school. I'd like to see the Kiowas bring in, you know, their people, their language. I would like to see the Dakota, the Delaware. You know, we have 39 tribes here. I guarantee you that there was children there that were Alaskan, Aleut. They were, you know what I mean? And Comanche. Well, we need that here. We need to know what their culture, what their home stories were, when in the winter, what did you do? How did you do it? You know, the education is centered, even though it has to meet certain criteria for the state. Our teachers are supposed to be unlearning their colonial education and relearning how to be Indigenous. And they're doing that. It's just a slow process. And then they're adding language. So it's a hard uphill battle, but I can tell you what, by fifth grade, we're going to have people, little guys that are going to be more fluent in Comanche language than a lot of people. I've heard a lot of the Kiowa language spoken, but I don't hear a lot of the Comanche language, just, you know, when you're passing and conversations, whatever. So we're really looking to do that kind of stuff.
And that's for me too. I'm glad you said that. I mean, the Kiowa language for me, I've been around it, but we don't have a lot of people speaking it. And right now there's a lot of us who are and different ones that I know, they're trying really hard to save, and we're trying to come together to get this language. But the Comanche language, you know, I've heard some good news from that academy, and how you've got different, I've heard different ones who are basically, you know, helping learn and save this language. I different powwows, you hear the progress that some of these students are making. And I've seen one of your teachers recently getting a master's degree and everything. So again, there's a lot of good things going on at that, at what you're doing with the Comanches. And I agree with you. I wish the Kiowas, we just kind of got to model and look and benchmark these things. Cause you know, me, my background is in business. So looking at how other things are, how schools are working, what they're doing, how they're adjusting and working it for their economies. For me, I commend how the Comanches have really kind of stabilized their economy, because the Kiowas, yes, were almost there. We're almost there. But it's going to take a little bit more for us. And again, it's looking at the examples, because again, being able to be one of the founding members of the Comanche Academy and building, that's education. That's where it starts. That's where we have to rebuild our society. We have to, like you said, we got to decolonize and re-educate who we are as people, because our culture, that's part of who we are, and it's in our language. That's the one thing that I know. If every society of tribal nation wants to rebuild, they got to do it with their language, because their culture is in that language. And to hear that Comanche, I've heard the hymns, but again, I don't speak Comanche. It's just beautiful stuff that I hear. It's kind of like the Kiowa hymns. I hear those, I can understand. Oh, yeah. And those are things. Those are where our culture comes from. And being able to have those kind of things and goals in mind. So what do you think some future goals for like MMIW that you have that you're trying to reach, and especially with Indigenous people? Because I see that you have something coming up here. You want to talk about what you got coming up here pretty soon?
There's a lot of stuff that we're having. So Thursday, we're having a meeting so that we can talk about bringing in. So we have been having a platform for candidates for all tribes just to come in and show, you know, who they are and talk about what they think is the best and maybe take on some questions. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about getting another type of culture, like there's a Hispanic culture here, there's a Filipino culture, there's a Samoan culture, there's, you know, there's different ones that would come in and lead this coming Indigenous Peoples Day, and we'll support them. I think sharing that and pushing them into the light, you know, you're only as good as your weak link, and let's make them stronger so that we can be all strong and have, this is a really diverse community. It's unfortunate that we have a lot of issues that come from our light skinned brothers and sisters. And so what we want to do, we want to be inclusive. We want to show that we lead with love. We lead with understanding. We lead with truth. And we want you to just come in and be who you are. There's no judgment. And that's the way the Comanche Academy is teaching their children. There are no penal things that they do there. There's no expulsion. There's no suspension. There's no go to the office. There's no sit out in the hall, that kind of stuff. And so we're really trying to maintain our wellness through being healthy and making healthy choices. And if we can teach our children that, even through our events, then it helps everybody get to a better space. Was there something specific that you were saying that we were doing?
No, I know you have, you and Dr. P. Wordy, I seen something that you guys kind of advertised online. Was that like some kind of learning or something that kind of, yeah, I was kind of interested in that.
Well, on the 28th of January, we're just having we're having a birthday celebration, but it's really about us just getting together. Everybody, we put it online. You're all welcome. We're going to do some hymn singing. That's going to be all different tribes. We're going to do some round dancing, and we're going to have games and really just talk about this kind of thing is what we did in our tribes when we were, before we were colonized. We put the children first, centered the women, and took care of business otherwise. And we did that together, right? And today we can do that in a good, kind way. And that's what we try to teach in a good, kind way is really the important part. But there's going to be other things. Like, we're going to have a powwow. We already canceled it. So we're going to have a powwow soon, probably in March, I would think. And look for the candidate forums so that you can, you know, keep abreast on all the things that are happening.
I know what I want. I back in the 90s when I was really young and living here for the first time, Cameron used to have powwow. I can remember a powwow. Parker Imrahula, Ralph Cote, a bunch of Edmund Tate, Navaquia, MGM singers. They were all out there. And that powwow, they used to have it, you know, out in that field on I think it's the south side of Cameron that used to have it in that field. They used to set up lights. Like, are they going to start having powwows like that again? Boy, howdy, I used to enjoy that powwow back in the day.
You know what? They Cameron University did. We put on a powwow 2 years ago, maybe three. But we want to again. So we would look forward to doing that. We're just coming into the new year, the new semester, and we're going to start planning. There's lots of things that we will do, and we'll put them out on, if you're not part of the Facebook page, we have Cameron University, or CU NASA on Facebook, and you can reach.
I'm going to have to follow, because again, I'll send it, all of these things. I'd love to get more involved and help spread a word, because that's the biggest thing we want to do is help spread awareness to these things that a lot of our people, we just need to ask more questions and start being more open and talking about some of these subjects, because again, society has broken our people down so much that we just aren't speaking up. But if we have a voice, we need to start using it. And today is the best way that we can start advocating. Because again, I wanted to speak with you because all of these things, and it starts back to that learning curve. I learned something that day. I learned that in order to be good leaders, any of us, no matter what we're doing in life, we need to be able to be corrected and to listen and to make those adjustments, because if we don't, we're going to continue battling each other. Wouldn't you agree? And we're going to start tearing each other apart. And that's where, you know, I hear many say about the seventh generation breaking this curse. That's us. We got to start breaking these and start putting ourselves together and our tribes. The things that we involve, we got to stop saying, no, that's, we got to start sharing and say, and start protecting each other. That's my thought for that. And that's why I said, I wanted to speak in. And so how can we help? What other links do you have with the Woman Warrior Society, and share those links so we can always share those on our broadcast stage and hopefully maybe have some more of these topics with other ones who want to come in so we can help spread that awareness.
Absolutely. So you can reach, we have a Facebook page, Warrior Woman Society. When we're out at events, we go live, but there's sometimes we do raffles. Sometimes we haven't been out lately due to COVID, and people aren't quite really happy to get back out. You can reach us at warriorwomansociety@yahoo.com. And for Cameron University, you can reach us at cunativestudent@gmail.com. And for Indigenous Peoples Day, we are at ipdlawton@gmail.com. And what else is there? Oh, you can always reach Comanche Academy for anything they're doing. They do have a Facebook page and a website. So, I want you to know, Enoch, you really, really made me feel happy about the fact that we have to listen. And even for me too, I have to listen in order to learn. And if I'm talking, I'm not learning. And I have to understand that people's feelings come first, and that I don't get to step on people's feelings. I don't get to disregard them or invalidate them. So we're down to validate people. We're down to push them above and get them going, just like you said. And we do need the media. The media, we are out of the books. We're out of media. I mean, when I was in high school, the history teacher said, call the squaw. He said, they were talking about squaws. And I said, I'm no squaw. He said, you know what? You can leave my room. Mm-hmm. And I did. I left school, never came back. And so that was the idea, is that I don't have to be like that, and neither do any of us.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. And I would love to do more on specific things with you. That would be great. Yeah.